Sherry Lynn Kenyon. Be careful what you search for because you just might find it. New York Times bestseller Sherry Lynn Kenyon is one of the superstars of the paranormal romance field. She's probably best known for the 22-volume Dark Hunter series, including such titles as Night Embrace, Dance with the Devil, Kiss of the Night, and Bad Moon Rising, and extending to manga and short stories as well as novels. But she also writes the League series, including Born of the Night, Born of Fire, Born of Ice, Love in Another Time, Another Place, and Born of Shadows, and the Chronicles of Nick series, which includes Infinity and Invincible. She's also produced the 4-volume Bad, Bureau of American Defense sequence, 2 of those written with Diana Love, including Bad Attitude, Phantom in the Night, and the collection Born to be Bad, and the 3-volume Bellador Code sequence, again written with Diana Love. Her most recent novels are Born of Silence, a League novel, and Infamous, part of the Chronicles of Nick series. There's a compendium to the Dark Hunter series, The Dark Hunter Companion, written by Kenyon and Alethea Contis. And Kenyon has also written nonfiction such as The Writer's Guide to Everyday Life in the Middle Ages and the Writer's Digest Character Naming Sourcebook. She lives in Spring Hill, Tennessee, and maintains a website at sherrylynnkenyon.com.
Hell Hath No Fury by Sherrilyn Kenyon. Read for you by Jenna Lamia. Based on a true legend. I don't think we should be here. Oh, come on, Kate. Calm down. Everything's fine. We have the equipment set up, and I feel like someone's watching me. Kate Irwin turned around slowly, scanning the thick woods, which appeared to be even more sinister now that the sun was setting. The trees spread out in every direction, so thick and numerous that she couldn't even see where they'd parked her car, never mind the highway that was so far back that nothing could be heard from it. We could die here, and no one would know. Anne, her best friend from childhood, cocked her hip as she lowered her thermal imaging camera to smirk at Kate. I hope something is watching you. Which direction should I be shooting? Kate shook her head at her friend's joy. There was nothing Anne loved more than a good ghost sighting. Anne, I'm not joking. There's something here. She pinned her with a caustic glower. You brought me along because I'm psychic, right? Yeah. Then trust me. This... Kate rubbed the chills from her arms. Isn't right. What's going on? Brandon set his large camera crate down next to Anne's feet as he rejoined them. He and Jamie had gone out to set their DVRs and cameras for the night. While she and Anne were slight of frame, Brandon and Jamie were well bulked. Brandon more from beer and channel surfing, but Jamie from hours spent in the gym. Even so, with his blonde hair and blue eyes, Brandon was good-looking in a Boy Scout kind of way, but Jamie had that whole dark, brooding, sexy scowl thing that made most women melt and giggle whenever he glanced their way. Anne indicated her with a jerk of her chin. Wunderkind over there is already picking up something. Brandon's eyes widened. I hope you mean spirit-wise and not some backwoods bug we have no immunity to. I left my vitamin C at home. Kate shivered as another wave of trepidation went through her. This one was even stronger than the previous one. Whose bright idea was this anyway? Anne pointed to Brandon, who grinned proudly. He winked at her. Come on, Kate. It's a ghost town. We don't get to investigate one of these every day. Surely ye of the unflappable constitution isn't wigging out like a little girl at a horror movie. Boo! Kate shrieked as Jamie grabbed her from behind. Laughing, he stepped around her, then shrugged his Alienware backpack off his shoulder and set it next to the camera case. She glared at the walking mountain. "Damn it, Jamie! You're not funny!" "No, but you are. I didn't know you could jump that high. I'm impressed." Hissing at him like a feral cat, she flicked her nails in his direction. "If I didn't think it'd come back on me, I'd hex you." He flashed that devilish grin that was flanked by dimples so deep they cut moons into both of his cheeks. "Ah, baby, you can hex me up anytime you want." Kate suppressed a need to strangle him. All aggravation aside, a martial arts instructor who was built like Rambo might come in handy one day. And still, her spidey senses tingled, warning her that day might not be too far in the future. "We're not supposed to be here." She bit her lip as she glanced around, trying to find what had her so rattled.
"No one is," Brandon said in a spooky tone. "This ground is cursed. Ooh."
She ignored him. But he was right. At one time, Randolph County had been the richest in all of Alabama, until the locals had forced a Native American business owner to leave her store behind and walk the Trail of Tears. "Luina." Kate jerked around as she heard the faint whisper of the woman's name. It was the same name as the ghost town they were standing in. Rather cruel to name the town after the woman who'd been run out of it for no real reason. "Luina," the voice repeated, even more insistent than before. "Did you hear that?" she asked the others.
"Hear what?"
Jamie checked his DVR.
"I'm not picking up anything."
Something struck her hard in the chest, forcing her to take a step back. Her friends and the forest vanished. She suddenly found herself inside an old trading post. The scent of the pine board walls and floor mixed with that of spices and flour. But it was the soaps on the counter in front of her that smelled the strongest. An older Native American woman, who wore her hair braided and coiled around her head, straightened the jars on the countertop, while a younger, pregnant woman who had similar features leaned against the opposite end. But what shocked Kate was how much she looked like the older woman, right down to the black hair and high eyebrows. The younger woman, Elizabeth. Kate didn't know how she knew that, but she did. Reached into one of the glass jars and pulled out a piece of licorice. "They're going to make you leave, Lou. I overheard them talking about it." Luina scoffed at her sister's warning before she replaced the lid and pulled the jar away from her.
"Our people were here long before them, and we'll be here long after they're gone. Mark my words, Lizzie."
Elizabeth swallowed her piece of licorice. "Have you not heard what they've done to the Cherokee in Georgia?"
"I heard, but the Cherokee aren't the Creek. Our nation is strong."
Elizabeth jerked, then placed her hand over her distended stomach where her baby kicked. "He gets upset every time I think about you being forced to leave."
"Then don't think about it. It won't happen. Not as long as I've been here." "Kate!"
Kate jumped as Jamie shouted in her face.
"What? Are you with us? You blanked out for a second."
Blinking, she shook her head to clear it of the images that had seemed so real that she could taste Elizabeth's licorice. "Where was that original trading post you guys mentioned being here?" Brandon shrugged.
"No idea. We couldn't find any information about it, other than it was owned by the Native American woman the town was named for. Why?"
"Because she had a bad feeling that they were standing on it. But there was nothing to corroborate that. Nothing other than a bad feeling in the pit of her stomach. In fact, there was nothing left of this once thriving town, other than rows of crosses in a forgotten cemetery, and a marker that proclaimed it Luena, Alabama. That thought had barely finished before she saw Luena again in her mind. She was standing a few feet away, to Kate's left, with two wagons filled with as much money and supplies as she could carry. Furious, she spat on the ground, and then spoke in Creek to the men who'd come to confiscate her home and store and force her to leave. Kate knew it was Creek, a language she knew not at all, and yet the words were as clear to her as if they'd been spoken in English.
"I curse this ground and all who dwell here, for what you've done to me, for the cruelty you have shown others. No one will make my business prosper, and when my sister passes from this existence to the next, within 10 years of that date, there will be nothing left of this town except gravestones."
The sheriff and his deputies who'd been sent to escort her from her home laughed in her face.
"Now don't be like that, Luena. This ain't personal against you." "No, but it is personal against you."
She cast a scathing glare at all of them.
"No one will remember any of you as ever having breathed, but they will remember my name, Luena, and the atrocity that you have committed against me."
One of the deputies came from behind the second wagon with a stern frown.
"Luena, this can't be all you own."
A cruel smile twisted her lips.
"I couldn't carry all of my gold."
That piqued the deputy's interest.
"Where'd you leave it?" the sheriff asked. "The safest place I know, in the arms of my beloved husband."
The sheriff rubbed his thumb along the edge of his lips.
"Yeah, but no one knows where you buried him."
"I know, and I won't forget." She swept a chilling gaze over all of them.
"Anything."
And with that, she climbed onto her wagon and started forward without looking back. But there was no missing the smug satisfaction in her eyes. She was leaving more than her store behind. Kate could hear Luena's malice as if they were her own thoughts. "They will tear each other apart, questing for the gold my husband will never release." It was Luena's final revenge. One paid tribute to by the eerie rows of cross-marked graves in the old Liberty Missionary Baptist Church cemetery. The weakness of our enemy is our strength. Make my enemy brave, smart, and strong, so that if defeated, I will not be ashamed. Kate felt Luena with her like her own shadow, a part of her that she could only just see if the light hit it right. Luena whispered in her ear, but this time Kate didn't understand the words. Yet what was unmistakable was the feeling of all-consuming dread that wouldn't go away, no matter what she tried. She sighed before she implored her group one more time. "We need to leave." All three of them balked.
"We just got the equipment set out."
"What, now? We've been here all day."
"Really, Kate? What are you thinking?" They spoke at once, but each voice was as clear as Luena's.
"We should not be here," she insisted. "The land itself is telling me that we need to go. Screw the equipment, it's insured."
"No,"
Brandon adamantly refused. It was then that she understood why they were being stubborn. When Brandon had spent his entire life saying that if you ran into a malevolent haunting, you abandoned that place, because nothing was worth the chance of being possessed. Only one thing would make him and Jamie forget about their own beliefs. Greed. You're not here for the ghosts. You're here for the treasure.
Jamie and Brandon exchanged a nervous glance.
She is psychic,
Anne reminded them. Brandon cursed.
Who told you about the treasure?
Luina.
Can she tell you where it is?
Jamie asked, hopefully. Kate screwed her face up at him.
Is that really all you're concerned with?
Well, not all. We are here for the science. Natural curiosity being what it is, but let's face it, the equipment's not cheap, and a little payback wouldn't be bad.
His choice of words only worsened her apprehension. Can you really not feel the anger here? She gestured in the direction of the cemetery. That had been the first place they'd set up the equipment, and it was there that her bad feelings had started. It's so thick I can smell it.
I feel humidity.
Jamie raised his hand.
Sign me up for hunger. Annoyed,
Brandon chimed in.
Look, it's for one night. Me and Jamie are gonna douse a little and try to find a place to dig.
How could he appear so chipper about what they were planning?
You'll be digging up a grave.
They froze.
What?
Brandon asked. Kate nodded. The treasure is buried with Luina's husband, William, who was one of the Creek leaders during the Red Stick War.
Jamie narrowed his gaze suspiciously.
How do you know all of this?
I told you, Luina. She keeps speaking to me.
Brandon snorted.
I'm laying money on Google. Nice try, see? You probably know where the money is and you're trying to scare us off. No deal, sister. I want a cut.
Laughing, Jamie chucked him on the back, then headed to the cooler to grab a beer. Anne stepped closer to her. Are you serious about this? Kate nodded. I wish they'd believe me, but yeah, we shouldn't be here. This land is saturated with malevolence. It's like a flowing river under the soil. And with those words, she lost Anne's support. Land can't be evil or cursed. You know that. She walked over to the men. Kate knew better. Part Creek herself, she'd been raised on her mother's belief that if someone hated enough, they could transfer that hatred into objects and into the soil. Both were like sponges. They could carry hatred for generations. Luina was out there, and she was angry. Most of all, she was vengeful. And she's coming for us. Kate felt like a leper as she sat alone by the fire, eating her protein bar. The others were off in the woods, trying to summon the very entity that she knew was with her.
Luina?
Jamie called, his deep voice resonating through the woods.
If you can hear me, give me a sign.
While it was a common phrase, for some reason tonight it bothered her. She mocked him silently as she pulled the protein bar's wrapper down lower. Suddenly, a scream rang out. Kate shot to her feet and listened carefully. Who was it? And where were they? Her heart pounded in her ears.
Brandon!
Anne shouted, her voice echoing through the woods. Kate ran toward them as fast as she could. By the time she found them, Brandon was on his back with a twig poking all the way through his arm.
He said he wanted a cut.
She jerked around, trying to pinpoint the voice that had spoken loud and clear.
Did you hear that?
She asked the others.
All I hear is Brandon whining like a bitch. Suck it up already, dude. Damn, you keep that up and I'm buying you a bra. Fuck you,
he snarled at Jamie.
Let me stab you with a stick and see how you feel. You the bitch, asshole. Boys!
Kate moved to stand between them.
What happened?
I don't know,
Brandon hissed as Anne tried to see the wound.
I was walking, going over the thermal scan, when all of a sudden I stumbled and fell into a tree. Next thing I knew, this.
He held it up for her to see. Cringing, Kate averted her eyes from the grisly wound.
We need to get him to the hospital. Not on your life, Brandon snarled. I'll be all right. I take it back. You're not a bitch. You're insane. Look at that wound. I hate to agree with Kate, because I doubt there's a hospital anywhere near here, but you need help. It's a flesh wound.
Kate shook her head. Anne, you should have never let him watch Monty Python.
I should have never left him alone to go to the bathroom, Anne growled at him.
They're right. You need to see a doctor. You could get rabies or something.
Yeah, because rabid trees were a huge problem here in Alabama.
Kate barely caught herself before she laughed. Anne hated to be laughed at.
I'm not leaving till I find that treasure.
Greed, pride, and stupidity, the three most fatal traits any human could possess. A sudden wind swept around them. This time she wasn't the only one who heard the laughter it carried.
What was that? Jamie asked.
Luina. Would you stop with that shit? Brandon snapped through gritted teeth. You're really getting on my nerves.
And they were getting on hers. Fine, whatever. She wasn't going to argue anymore. It was their lives. His wound. Who was she to keep him safe when he obviously had no interest in it? Arms akimbo, Jamie sighed.
What do you think are the odds that, assuming Kate's right, and Luina's husband has the gold in his grave, that it's in the cemetery? Didn't most of the Native Americans in this area convert over to Baptist?
Kate shook her head. He won't be there.
What makes you say that?
If it was that easy to find, it would have been found long ago.
Yeah, good point. Square one sucks.
Jamie glanced back at Brandon.
You sure about the doctor? Positive.
All right, I'm heading back out. Kate, you coming?
You can't go alone. She followed as he switched his flashlight on and went back to his EMF detector and air ion counter.
You want to take this?
He held his full-spectrum camcorder out to her.
Sure.
She opened it and turned it back on so that she could see the world through the scope of the small screen. After a few minutes, he paused.
Do you really believe any of the bullshit you've been spewing?
You know me, James. Have I ever spewed bullshit on sight?
No, that's what has me worried.
He narrowed his gaze at her. Did I ever tell you that my great-grandmother was Cherokee?
No, you didn't.
He nodded.
She died when I was 6, but I still remember her. And something she'd always say keeps echoing in my head.
What?
Listen, or your tongue will keep you deaf.
Kate was about to compliment her wisdom when she glanced down at the screen.
Holy mother. Gasping, she dropped the camera and jumped back.
What?
Jamie turned around to see if there was something near. Terrified and shaking, Kate couldn't speak. She couldn't get the image out of her mind. She gestured to the camera. With a stern frown, Jamie picked it up and ran it back. Even in the darkness, she knew the moment he saw what had stolen her tongue. He turned stark white. Right before he'd spoken about his Cherokee great-grandmother, a huge something with fangs had been about to pounce on him. Soulless eyes of black had stared down as its mouth opened to devour him. Then, the moment he'd repeated the quote, it had pulled back and vanished. Eyes wide, he gulped.
We have to leave.
She nodded, because she still couldn't speak. Jamie took her arm gently and led her through the woods back to where they'd left Anne and Brandon. They were already gone. Jamie growled in frustration.
Brandon! He called out. Anne?
Only silence answered them.
All who dwell here will pay.
Lowena's voice was more insistent now. But I hurt those I should not have cursed. Kate flinched as she saw an image of Elizabeth as an old woman in a stark, hand-built cabin. Her gray hair was pulled back into a bun as she lit a candle and placed it in the window while she whispered a Creek prayer.
O great Father Spirit, whose voice I hear in the wind, whose breath gives life to all the world, and with whom I have tried to walk beside throughout my days. Hear me. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty, and make my eyes ever behold the glorious sunset you have provided. Make my hands respect the things you have made, and my ears sharp to hear your voice, even when it's nothing more than a faint whisper. Make me wise so that I may understand the things you have taught my people, and why you have taken things from me that have given me pain. Help me to remain calm and strong in the face of all that comes at me, against my enemies and those out to do me harm. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock, in the joy of the stream, in the light of the moon and sun. Help me seek pure thoughts and act with the intention of helping others and never myself. Help me find compassion without empathy overwhelming me. I seek strength, not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes, so that when my life fades, as the fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame. And most of all, great-grandfather, keep my sons safe and warm, wherever they may be. Elizabeth leaned over and kissed the old photographs of two young men in cavalry uniforms that she had sitting in the window beside the candle she lit every night, just in case they finally found their way home. It was a ritual she'd practiced every single night for the last 52 years, since the war had ended and her boys had failed to return home to tend their crops. She refused to believe them dead, just as she refused to die and let her sister's curse harm the town where they had both been born. Her heart aching, she pulled two brittle letters from her pocket, the last that her boys had written to her, and sat down at the table. Old age had taken her sight so that she could no longer read the words, not even with her spectacles. But it didn't matter. She'd long ago committed their words to her heart. I dream only of returning home to Mary Annabelle. Give her my best, Mother. Soon I will see you both again. Robert. He'd only been 19 when he'd left her home with his older brother John, when they'd been conscripted to fight a war that had nothing to do with them. 18 months older, John had sworn that he would watch over Robert and return him home. On my life, Ecky, I'll bring him back, whole and hale. And I will watch for you every day, and every night I will light a candle to help guide you both to my door. Tears swam in her eyes, but they didn't fall. She was stronger than that. Instead, she reached for the old hand-carved horn her father had given to her when she'd been a child.
Take this, Lizzie. Should anyone come to our door while your brothers and I are in the field, sound it loud to let us know, and then hide with your mother and sisters until we can get to you.
So much had changed, To this day, she didn't regret marrying her husband. She had loved her John more than anything. But he had left her far too soon. She'd laid him to rest on a cold February morning when Robert was barely 7. Since her brothers had been forced to leave along with her sister Lou, she'd raised the boys on her own, along with her daughter Mary. There is no death, only a change of worlds. Soon she would change. She could feel the Great Spirit with her more and more. Do not grieve for that which is past, or for that which you cannot prevent. I will see you again soon, my sons. And she would be with her John. Kate flinched as she felt Luina's pain. You must live your life from beginning to end. No one can do it for you. But be careful when you seek to destroy another. For it is your soul that will be consumed, and you are the one who will cry. Never allow anger and hatred to poison you. I am poison. Those words echoed in Kate's head as she followed Jamie in his quest to locate their friends. Maybe they went to the hospital after all. That was her hope until they reached the tents they'd pitched earlier. Tents that were now shredded and lying strewn across the ground. Jamie ran ahead, then pulled up short. With a curse, he turned and caught her before she could get too close.
You don't want to know.
What? His gaze haunted. He tightened his arms around her.
Trust me, Kate. You don't want to see them. We have to call the authorities.
Tears welled in her eyes.
Anne?
He shook his head.
It looks like an animal attack of some kind.
Why?
I don't know.
But her question wasn't for Jamie. It was for Luina. Words spoken in anger have strong power, and they cannot be undone. For those who are lucky, they can be forgiven in time. But for others, it is always our own words and deeds that condemn us, never the ill intent or wishes of our enemies. Do not dabble with what you don't understand. There are some doors that are blown from their hinges when they are opened, doors that will never again be sealed. Welcome to my hell. They both jerked at the voice beside them. There in the darkness stood Luina. Her gray hair fanned out around her shoulders. Her old calico dress was faded against her white apron.
My sister protects you. For that you should give thanks. Now go, and never come here again.
But it wasn't that simple.
I will not leave and allow you to continue hurting others.
Luina laughed.
You can't stop me.
For the first time in her life, Kate understood the part of her bloodline that had always been mysterious and undefined. She was the great-great-granddaughter of Elizabeth. It all came together in her mind at once. Her grandmother had told her the story of Elizabeth, who'd died when her cabin caught fire while she was sleeping. Something had knocked the candle that she lit for her sons from her window.
You killed her,
Kate accused.
She wanted to die. She was tired.
But that wasn't true, and she knew it. Yes, Elizabeth had been tired. She'd been almost 110 years old. Yet she'd been so determined to keep her sister's curse at bay that she'd refused death every time it tried to claim her. Until Luina had intervened. In that moment, Kate felt a connection to Elizabeth, one she embraced. Jamie released her.
What are you doing?
Kate looked down to see the glow that enveloped her. Warm and sweet, it smelled like sunshine. It was Elizabeth.
This ends, Luina. As you said, you are the poison that must be purged.
Shrieking, Luina ran at her. True to her warrior heritage, Kate stood her ground. She would not back down, not in this. Luina's spirit slammed into Kate with enough force to knock her down. She groaned as pain filled her. Still, she stood up again and closed her eyes.
You will not defeat me. It is time for you to rest. You have not shown respect to those who dwell on this earth.
They didn't show it to me.
And you allowed them to turn you away from the Great Spirit, who loves us all, to do things you knew weren't right.
They spat in my face.
You returned their hatred with more hatred.
Kate reached her hand out to Luina.
Like Elizabeth, you're tired. Nothing is more draining than to keep the fires of hatred burning.
Nothing is more draining. You will not fight me?
Kate shook her head.
I want to comfort you. It's time to let go, Luina. Release the hatred.
And then she heard Elizabeth in her ear, telling her what to say.
Remember the words of Crazy Horse. Upon suffering beyond suffering, the Red Nation shall rise again, and it shall be a blessing for a sick world. A world filled with broken promises, selfishness, and separations. A world longing for light again. I see a time of 7 generations when all the colors of mankind will gather under the sacred tree of life, and the whole earth will become one circle again. In that day, there will be those among the Lakota who will carry knowledge and understanding of unity among all living things, and the young white ones will come to those of my people and ask for this wisdom. I salute the light within your eyes, where the whole universe dwells. For when you are at the center within you, and I am that place within me, we shall be one.
Luina pulled back as she heard those words.
We are one, she repeated.
Elizabeth pulled away from Kate and held her hand out to Luina.
I have missed my sister.
I have missed mine. Jamie placed his hands on Kate's shoulders.
Are you all right?
She wasn't sure.
Did you see any of that?
Yes, but I'm going to deny it if you ever ask me that in public.
Tears filled her eyes as she remembered Anne and Brandon.
Why did we come this weekend?
We came for greed. You came to help a friend.
Suddenly, a low moan sounded.
Call for help,
Jamie said. He released her and ran back to their camp. She dialed 911, hoping it would pick up.
Anne's still breathing.
Jamie pulled his jacket off to drape it over her.
What about Brandon?
He went to check while the phone rang.
It's faint, but yeah, I think he's alive too.
Kate prayed for a miracle that she hoped would be granted. Epilogue. Kate sat next to Anne's bed while the nurse finished checking her vitals. She didn't speak until after the woman had left them alone.
Sorry we didn't have any readings to show you guys.
Anne shook her head.
Who cares? I'm just glad I'm alive.
But what?
Are you and Jamie ever gonna tell us what really happened?
Kate reached up to touch the small gold ring that she'd found on her car seat when she'd gone out to the road to help direct the medics to where Brandon and Anne had been. Inside the band were the names John
and Elizabeth. It was the only gold to be found in Luina. The treasure so many had sought had been used to fund a school and church over a century ago. Years after her sister had given her the gold to support herself and her children, Elizabeth had taken the last of it and had it melted into this ring. Smiling, Kate met Anne's gaze.
Maybe one day. And what about the treasure?
Anne, haven't you learned yet that it's not gold that is precious? It's people. And you are the greatest treasure of my life. I'm glad I still have my best friend. Anne took her hand and held it.
I'm grateful to be here, and I'm truly grateful for you, but there are no buts.
She nodded. You're right, Kate. I'd lost sight of what my grandfather used to say.
And that was?
When all the trees have been cut down, and all the animals have been hunted to extinction, when all the waters are polluted and the air is unsafe to breathe, only then will you discover you cannot eat money.
Jamie laughed, drawing their attention to the door where he stood with a balloon bouquet for Anne.
What's so funny? Kate asked. I think we all came away from the weekend with a different lesson.
Kate arched her brow.
And that is?
Anne just said hers. You learned that revenge is a path best left alone. Brandon learned to shut up and get help when he's wounded.
And you? Anne asked.
I learned two things. One, the most dangerous place for a man to be is between two fighting women. And two, no matter the species, the deadliest gender is always the female. Men will fight until they die. Women will take it to the grave and then find a way back.